I like that intro so much, I thought we'd play it twice. Yes, indeed. 720 WGN, John Landecker, welcoming back to the program the consumer man, Herb Weisbaum. Good evening, Herb. How are you?
Hi, John. Very well, thank you.
Cheap Trick. That's the band that played the intro, because I felt it sort of goes with the first story when it comes to outlet malls.
Yeah, that's good.
They're not what they seem, apparently.
Well, they are in some ways, as long as you know what you're getting into. Do major market radio personalities shop at outlet stores?
Sure, they do. They do. Okay. I didn't include myself there. Yeah, we do. And okay. we're married to people who do.
Good. Well, yeah. And they started out, when they first started decades ago, it was a way for stores to get rid of old merchandise that was last season overstock or slightly damaged, and you were really getting amazing bargains on the stuff that was in the store. These days, that's not necessarily the case. Many of these outlet stores have merchandise specifically made for the outlet store that was never sold at the actual retail store. So Checkbook did a major investigation on this. We, Jen Barger, one of our top people back in D.C. did this. She and her staff looked at 40 brands that have outlet stores, and they went around and they looked on the website and they went to the stores, and they found that about half of the 40 brands studied that sell only or mostly merchandise that's more cheaply made for their factory outlet stores and therefore priced lower. So in a lot of cases in the big name stores, so houseware chains such as Pottery Barn and Restoration Hardware, some high-end designers like Burberry operate genuine clearance centers with discounted merchandise that came from the store, but a lot of others simply are selling stuff that was made at the store. I remember I live in Seattle, home of Nordstrom. And when the Nordstrom Racks first opened, it was wonderful because they were actually selling the sports coats I was buying on for TV for $860 a pop for about $350. So it was really wonderful. I knew the merchandise. It had the tag. It was crossed off, legitimately crossed off, put another sticker on it, now selling at. These days, a lot of the merchandise that is sold at the Rack is made for the Rack. And just do the math. There are, you know, only about 93 regular Nordstrom stores and a couple of hundred Nordstrom Rack stores. There's no way that they're selling merchandise just from the store. And it's fine as long as you know what you're getting and nobody's trying to deceive you. That was the basic point of the store. You're not necessarily getting the quality or the stuff that was in the original store.
Well, I think they basically are trying to deceive you. I mean, maybe not specifically with a sign on the store that says these items were made for this store, but you're there at an outlet mall. And when outlet malls started, as you mentioned, it was like, oh, we're going to get a great deal on these. Who knows? Rejected, the wrong sizes. I don't know why the clothing is here. But the fact that they're manufacturing specifically for the store and the outlet mall, when I read that in your stuff, in your notes, I'm like, you've got to be kidding. How do they, for what reason?
Money. For money. I mean, they've found out that people really, really like to shop at these places, and they like to save money and buy things for less. So they created products that sell for less. Now, we actually asked salespeople in the store, and we said, is this table here, like, are these shirts made by specifically for the store, and are these things made for the store? And 9 out of 10 times, they knew and told us the correct answer. They were honest when you asked them. The question is, you just have to realize that nowadays, some of the stuff is made for the outlet store. And I will say, I mean, people, John, today are on a fixed budget. They're trying to stretch their money. If you're buying a shirt that was made by Nike at an outlet store, not the Nike shirt that was sold at the Nike retail store, the original store that they have, or a major market department store, Nike's not going to ruin its brand by selling a piece of crap. It just won't be as nice as the one that you bought maybe at the regular store. It won't have as much stitching. Maybe there's not the buttons aren't as fancy. But if you need to save money and you know what you're getting and you don't get fooled that you're buying something that came from the store, so getting an amazing deal, there's nothing really wrong with that as long as you understand the game they're playing now, that outlet doesn't necessarily mean outlet. If you go to Burberry's and buy a trench coat, if you're going to be on the WBBM news at 6 and be out there on the street with your Burberry raincoat on, that's probably a Burberry. It probably came from the store, has a price that's marked down. But you buy these other things, and chances are it's made just for the store. So you have to understand how they're playing the game these days.
Plus, if you're playing the label game,
Mm-hmm.
It still has the label of the manufacturer on it, right? I mean, Burberry sells the same, sews in, or however they attach the label, their logo is the same on every item, or no?
Burberry sells, we found the same stuff at the outlet store they sell at the real store. They're one of the few that do the actual selling it from the store. And if you go to the Nordstrom rack and you find something that you know was being sold at Nordstrom, you had, you know, your eye on a thing, and you see that there's the original price sticker and that there's another sticker slapped on top of it, right, then you can figure out that you're getting yourself a pretty good deal. What the problem is what these, and here is the deceptive part, that we believe, is that when they put the price tag on the item that was never sold at the retail store, that was specifically made for the discount store, and the tag says sold at, as sold at, regular price, list price, whatever, these $70 blouses that you're looking at that are for $30 never sold at $70. They were made to sell at $30. That's where the slippery factor comes in that I think people have to be aware of. So if you're getting a genuine piece of merchandise discounted from the retail store, fabulous. But if you're getting one of these other items made for the store, be aware that they are, in this case, playing games with you when they do these tags that are printed on, not hand crossed out and a new tag put on that say they supposedly sold at a specific price. By the way, for those in the know, there are regulations that spell out that a retailer has to sell something at the regular price for so long in order to say it's on a sale price. Because if you sell it at the sale price all the time, then it's not the sale price anymore. It's the legitimate price. That's the real price. But nobody at the federal level is enforcing that anymore. And no one seems to be interested in those regulations. So you, the consumer, have to watch out for yourself.
What other things can we recognize to tell us that this is going on?
Well, the first thing I told you, that know your brands, be familiar with the items. If you always shop a store, know what you're looking for, and you know what that high quality such and such sweater is versus the one you might see in the store. Compare prices. You know, we actually found that merchandise in department stores or online for some big name brands like Nike or Polo or Ralph Lauren or New Balance. We were in the store, we went online with our phone, and we found out that in some cases we could buy cheaper online than we could the legitimate item than we could a real item for the sale at the store than we could buy the one that was sold at the store, at the outlet store. Mm-hmm. And then they have sales too. I mean, check whether they have coupons for the store. Some have digital or paper coupons. Some have sales days. I've seen ones where, you get a sale day and everything with blue tags on them today is an extra 10% off or something like that. So just be aware of, it's not maybe as good as you think. You may not be saving as much money as you think. Be as every bit as skeptical as you would at the outlet store and the outlet mall as you would at any other retailer you're shopping at. You got to know the price. You got to know what you're buying. And if you're not, ask some questions. We found they will tend to tell you what's going on, but you may just be misled by the stickers and the prices that are on the different items.
Herb Weisbaum, the consumer man, will do more after this on 720 WGN. Yeah, but what if somebody gave you a drug and you didn't have to carry that weight? Oh, I've been waiting to hear what you got to say about this, Herb.
I would not have picked that song in a million years. What a great song.
Well, thank you.
I love that
much.
Song.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
And it's not, and it's, well, I'm not going to get into it.
Okay.
There were other songs, but they were, let us say, gender specific in a way that was not a compliment. And,
right.
Boy or man or whatever they say at the beginning.
Yeah.
But carrying the weight.
Yes.
That's the story. This is an amazing thing. One way or the other. Who doesn't want to lose weight? Really?
Yeah, you want to fit into that itsy bitsy teeny weeny yellow
polka dot bikini. What about these drugs?
Yes, we've all heard about GLP-1 drugs. Something like 30 million Americans have tried them at one point or another. They're a huge multi-billion dollar enterprise right now. And for those of you who are not familiar, those are the ones that you see advertised all the time, like Wegovy and Zepbound, those drugs that you see all the time on TV. And what's happened, the big news here is that Medicare, as of July 1st, for the first time ever, is covering these drugs when they're solely used for weight loss. Now, they're also used for diabetes control and other things, but the doctors until now could not prescribe them for their patients solely for weight loss. There are some catches, which I'll get to in a minute. But and the major thing here is it's a pilot program that Medicare is going to try from now until the end of 2027. for people who have prescription drug coverage. That's what those who are old enough know is called Part D, through Medicare, a Medicare Advantage program, or if you have a standalone prescription plan that has Medicare Part D in it. And, you know, Congress, when they set up this whole thing with Medicare Part D years and years ago, John, they specifically said that Medicare could not cover drugs for weight loss. So the only way that you could get a GLP-1 covered is if you had an underlying condition like type 2 diabetes or heart disease. But now, because of this pilot program, you can get it just for weight loss if you meet the qualifications. So I guess I should run down the qualifications, right?
I would think so, yeah.
Okay. So the qualifications are, you have to get a prescription written by your doctor, and your doctor is the one who applies for the program to get you qualified for this program. You're not going to use this just to lose 10 or 20 pounds to fit into that little bikini. You're going to lose it because you need to lose a significant amount of weight. So if you have no underlying health conditions, you must have a body mass index or a BMI of 35 or higher. So we're talking about obese people here. If you have an underlying health condition such as prediabetes, a previous stroke, or uncontrolled hypertension, then the BMI needs to be between 25 and 30 for you to qualify in order to get these programs. It doesn't cover every single one of the GLP-1 family of medications. What it does cover is it covers Wegovy, the one I think a lot of people have heard about, the injection of the tablet. It covers Fondeo, which is only a tablet, and Zepbound, the quick pen version of that. But if you've been wanting to lose some weight and you can't qualify for these prescription drugs under the programs that have been in place now for the first time ever, if you meet the qualification for body mass index, your doctor can write a prescription, send it to the pharmacy, and get you enrolled in this pilot program from Medicare.
I know some people who, I mean, I don't know their personal medical history.
Uh-huh.
But I would guess, I'd put money on it, that they don't qualify under any of the different items that you mentioned as qualifiers for this program, yet they have it. And they're spending a lot of money to get it. And, I mean, obviously there's ways around this, if you can afford it, I suppose.
Well, yes. And also, if you have an underlying condition, you know, some people are getting it that way. But if you qualify for the Medicare program, I should point out that you're only going to pay a $50 copay. That's a lot less than the up to $500 some people are paying for these drugs. So this is a really, really big deal for people who qualify. If you don't qualify, there are other things you can do. The manufacturers, some of them have programs where they'll bring the cost down. You can contact them.
And that's about that's a wonderful thing.
Okay, oh, Mr. Jennings.
Trust me. I know.
Well. I thought there was a change.
Just a little, but it's, you know, it's a good thing.
But the voice still sounds amazing.
Well, thank you. The voice sounds
amazing. And put the headsets on because you're getting feedback.
mine are wrong.
Oh, okay. Oh, John. So that's one way. Some people buy from formulations, these other companies that are selling them. That's not quite as safe as buying it the reputable way. These things are, you know, you never know 100% what you're getting from these companies that are selling the other products.
And I think that there is either going to be or already has started a crackdown on that formulary stuff.
Yeah, they've been told by Medicare they're not supposed to make it anymore because there's not a shortage of the drug anymore. So I guess you're probably, Mr. Jennings, someday down the road will be reporting a news story that they've sent out letters to the formulary pharmacies saying stop making this stuff. And then, of course, if you do it somewhere online overseas or whatever, you have no idea what you're getting. So that's the thing. By the way, I have no idea because I can't see you. It's radio. But I can tell you that this is a Consumerpedia podcast we just did. We did a half an hour talking with Dr. at the University of Washington, who's an expert, an endocrinologist who's used this drug on over 1,000 patients. And he says that people who take it lose between 14 and 20% of their total body weight in a year. Does that sound about right, David?
Well, I'm not at that level yet, but I probably could do with a little bit more activity. Okay. You know?
Right. Well, walk between the newsroom and the cafeteria a few more times, you know. So... John, here's the big question people wanted me to ask the doctor. What happens if you stop taking the stuff?
Exactly.
And if you stop taking the stuff, basically you're going to put back most of the weight. Dr. Cummings at the University of Washington said that, quote, the drugs don't work if you don't take them. They're coded by the FDA as forever drugs, intended to be taken forever, just like a drug for your cholesterol or your blood pressure. So if you stop taking them, most people put back about 3/4 of the weight they took off over time, which is still better probably than carrying around 100% of that weight. But these are drugs that are made not to help you get over a little situation like you raid the icebox at night, that this is a situation where you're doing this to change your lifestyle, and you need to keep taking it if you're going to do it.
Do you think it's a step in a direction, though, that with the obsession of weight loss that we have in this country, that this is a step towards a drug that will be readily available over the counter without a prescription?
I think this is a big breakthrough. These are drugs are big breakthroughs. I think prices will come down over time. And I also think that we're already seeing people who are changing their eating habits. You hear news about the snack food companies are having problems because people aren't buying this stuff. The medical people I spoke to say this will probably reduce a lot of conditions like diabetes and mortality that they're dealing with younger people who are carrying around way too many pounds. And they're also, and we talk about this in great detail in this podcast, if you want to listen to it, consumerpedia.org, with a doctor about things they're testing this for. They think this may help with Alzheimer's disease. They think this may help with cardiovascular disease because some of that is based on inflammation, and these drugs reduce inflammation, they're finding out. I think this is a class of drugs that we're going to find a lot of things that they're going to be used for. It almost sounds too good to be true, but once the science works and they test these things out, you may be hearing a lot more about these GLP-1 drugs down the road.
Well, what if we want to read about a lot more or hear your podcast a lot more? What do we
We have an article on checkbook.org all about the GLP-1, the podcast all about the GLP-1 at consumerpedia.org. And John, there's also online the story we did about the outlet malls. You can actually put the name of the store in and we will tell you what we found about all 40 stores. It's an interactive article we have at checkbook.org. And then we did a whole podcast at consumerpedia.org. So real easy to get a lot more information about all this stuff.
Well, this was really informative, if you ask me. Thanks so much, Herb. You're the consumer man, and you proven again why, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Thanks, John. Next time, we'll find a way to play Maxwell's Silver Hammer.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
See you later.